We left off last week. We were discussing the different applications of Gzeirah Shem Yichtov, and we came to the realization that even though Mekach HaMemker is prohibited, all kind of business transactions are also traps in Yontif, not all quote-unquote business transactions are the same. Some are prohibited, Meikra Din, in the sense of that the reasons really apply to Gzeirah Shem Yichtov, Tzachavtzacha, and some are in practice, it's kind of an extension of that, almost like a low plug of Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. So we pointed out from the Rishonim, from the Bir, the Aruch HaShulchan, the difference between Mechiras and Kandras, the Matanas, that when you sell something, that's a real Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. That's the real Makoy of this Nisar. And therefore, there's no Heter whatsoever. Even Bakal Mitzvah, Bakal Tzorech, Hayom, nothing's going to be Mata, actual buying and selling on Shabbos and Yontif. But a lower level of Mechich HaMemker, namely the Matanas, which in truth is really should have been Mutar altogether, because there really is no fear of Gzeirah Shem Yichtov, and it's hard to really call it Mitzvah Tzacha. So matanas really should have been mutter on Shabbos and Yontem. Otherwise, the Gemara says they're asur. So it must be that some kind of a secondary gezeira. Therefore, the Chashulchan explained from the Rishonim, that's the reason why the Makom Mitzvah were going to be more lenient. So that was the basic klal that we developed already for the few rayas last week, that the real absolute Mekichah Memker is also even the Makom Mitzvah. Almost watered down Mekichah Memker is going to be mutter by Makom Mitzvah. So the idea of Hefker even maybe falling into that category, other possible examples as well. Which leads us really to our next application of Mekichah Memker. There's also a process that, if you would have asked me, I would have said, not only is this not real Mekichah Memker, I'm not even sure why it's even related to Mekichah Memker in the first place, and yet we find that this particular action is also on Shabbos and Yontif, notwithstanding the fact that it's not real Mekichah Memker, and notwithstanding the fact that it's a real Makom Mitzvah. And that is the Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. So the Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen is, there's no Gemara, so there's no Makor in the Gemara about this topic. It's from the Rishonim. There's no statement of Chazal per se about doing a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yontif. If we have a Messer, we have a tradition from the Rishonim that we don't do it. And the question is, why not? What in the world is wrong with doing a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yontif? Even though our initial reaction would be, what do you mean? You're going to use money? Isn't the money Muktzah? That's the last of the problems, because the Mishnah says you can do Pidyon HaBen with Shavah Kesef as well. You could use something of value. So let's say you give a nice piece of jewelry, give a nice set of svarim or something to the kohen. So there are many things that can be given in place of kesef per se. What is wrong with doing a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos or on Yontif? Especially if the 31st day is on Shabbos and Yontif, it's a Pidyon HaBen mizmano even. There may even be such a concept of that. So to deliberately push it off for a couple of days really would need some justification. So the question is, why is that? Why does Rishonim have this tradition that Pidyon HaBen is pushed off based on what principle? So the Rishonim say it's all based on Mekichah Memker. Because doing a Pidyon HaBen is tantamount to buying and selling, the equivalent of Mekichah Memker. That's the reason why we don't do it. That needs a little bit of an explanation. Why should we label Pidyon HaBen as a Mekichah Memker? Who would have asked me? I would have said, it's a mitzvah. It's like eating matzah. It's like, what does that have to do with Mekichah Memker? Who's the Memker? Who are you buying? What are you selling? Why should that be? So there's a machlekes that we showed him, which type of Mekichah Memker Pidyon HaBen falls under, and why precisely is the din that one does not do it. So there are some Rishonim who suggest that the reason why we don't do a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yontif is because it falls into almost the higher category of Mekichah Memker, namely called the Mechira. It's like buying and selling. The same way, under no circumstances can I go to the store and buy something, even if it's a Tzarech Mitzvah. I can't buy a little Nesek from you if it's a Tzarech Mitzvah. I could maybe get it as a Matana, but to do an actual Mechira would be off limits, even Bakal Mitzvah. Maybe that's what Pidyon HaBen is. Pidyon HaBen is literally the halach equivalent to buying and selling. Of course, the question is, what exactly are you buying, what exactly are you selling? So there's only one answer to that question. You're buying and selling the baby. Namely, that the father is, in a sense, buying the baby back from the Kohen. And that act of buying the baby back smacks of Mekichah Memker. And it's considered to be the highest level of Mekichah Memker, which is also Medina on Shabbos, notwithstanding the fact that it's a Makom Mitzvah. So that's quite a statement. That's quite a loaded statement. That's what Pidyon HaBen is. So why in the world would I think that Pidyon HaBen is a Mekichah Memker? I'm buying the baby, selling the baby. The whole thing doesn't seem to fit into our image of what Pidyon HaBen really is all about. So the only way to explain away why our practice is that we don't do a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yontif is to label it as a Gezeirah Shem Yichtov. It's the same reason we don't go to the store and buy things on Shabbos and Yontif. Even for Makom Mitzvah, we wouldn't buy things on Shabbos and Yontif. So even for Makom Mitzvah's Pidyon HaBen, we wouldn't do this mitzvah on Shabbos and Yontif. But the only way for this to be understood in Ruch HaShabbos, in Aruch HaChayim, is getting back to your Yerideya, in Sibin Shinhein in Hilchus Pidyon HaBet and try to understand, is that really true? Is that model, is that understanding of Pidyon HaBet accurate in terms of Hilchus Pidyon HaBet? And then to be able to place it back into the problematic category of Mechel Memker, namely Gzeir Shem Yichtov. So there is a practice that we have when we do a Pidyon HaBet, which is a very, very strange practice. It's not my observation, that's a strange practice. It's already the Rishonim's observation, that's a strange practice. But we do it anyway. It goes back at least to the days of the Gaonim. Then right before we do a Pidyon HaBet, the father walks up to the Kohen, and he says, this is my firstborn. And the Kohen and the father start having a strange dialogue. The good news, most people don't understand it because it's Aramaic, but basically the give and take in the Pidyon HaBet is something that runs along the following. The Kohen says, really? It's your baby? Well, you have a choice. Either would you like to be poda the baby or not? The father thinks about it a little bit. Baby's been screaming for the last 4 weeks. He's not sure. You know? The father says, yeah, I really would like to be poda the baby from you. And here's the money. So the Rosh quotes this custom from the Gaonim. And the Rosh says, what are they talking about? He says, the Kohen's almost giving the father a choice. Would you like to do the mitzvah? Would you like to buy the son back? The Rosh says, the Kohen doesn't own the son in the first place. The father's thinking about it. Yeah, after much deliberation, okay, I'm going to give you the 5 shekels that I owe you in the Torah. He says, and let's say the father doesn't want to, quote unquote, buy the baby back. He'll leave the baby with the Kohen. He still going to do Pidyon HaBet. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. What kind of a give and take? What kind of a dialogue is playing out here? But Lamaisa, we do it anyway. Even though we don't really understand what it's all about, we do it anyway. So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that he thinks that this Minhag HaGaonim is based on the following. The Gaonim are trying to highlight some chalos that's taking place in Pidyon HaBet. That Pidyon HaBet is not just a mitzvah nesina. It's not just to go to the Kohen and hand him 5 shekels and call it a day. What the Torah wants us to do is almost to mimic a mechira. That the nature of the mitzvah, the Hagadaras HaMitzvah of Pidyon HaBet, is to be Kona, quote unquote, the baby back for the Kohen. Now, does that mean that the baby really belongs to the Kohen? No. Does that mean that the father has a choice? He can't force me to buy a car, so he can't force me to buy the baby back? No. Because the mitzvah is Pidyon HaBet. But the nature of the mitzvah is not just the Nesidas HaMos. The nature of the mitzvah is to go through the act, go through the drama, as if the Kohen is literally selling you back your child. That's what the Gaonim are misaki. Comes the Chassam Sofer and says, it's based on this, that there may be some halachic nafkaminis to this statement. There may be some other very real ramifications that emanate from this idea that Pidyon HaBet is not just the mitzvah's nesina, but there's an element, there's a dimension of mekichah memkeh here. So, there is another sheet of the Gaonim, which is also very, very strange, which is also questioned by the Rosh. The Rosh quotes at the end of Masechet Becheiros that in a Pidyon HaBet, in the old days, the days of the Gaonim, they used to have the following brachas that were said. So there's the bracha Shir Kiddushan Mitzvot V'al Pidyon HaBet, that's the Gemara says to say. Then there's the Shechiyanu, the Gemara says Machlekes, where the Kohen says the Shechiyanu, the father says, but the Gemara Paskins that the father says it. So that's the same as we do today. So the father makes a bracha, the father says Shechiyanu, everyone's fine. Then the Gaonim had another bracha that the Kohen would say. The Kohen would say, Baruch Ad Hashem Elkeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kideish Pitrei HaRechem, there's something or other, Baruch Hashem, I don't know, Makadish Bechor Yisrael, something like that. The bracha hasn't been said in a while, so I don't remember the exact nusach. That bracha almost mimics the bracha of Asher Kideish, did we bet then, that we recited in Bris. So the Rosh has two claims against that bracha. First of all, he says it doesn't appear in the Gemara, so like, who are we to start, as great as the Gemara, who are we to start instituting brand new brachas that don't appear in the Gemara? So that in and of itself wouldn't be the end of the day for us, because anyone who says Baruch Hashem L'Yolam, anyone who says, the Mekadosh Shimcha Barabim in the morning, anyone who says, Hanosen L'Yarav Koach, there are a half dozen brachas that are set out there that don't appear in the Shasana Kirtzah. No, probably nobody here says that, but I'm saying, why are you saying that bracha? So the fact that there are brachas that were instituted after the Chasimus and Gemara is a question of the Rishon, whether that's an option or not, but that we probably wouldn't lose too much sleep over. But the Rosh has another claim against the Kohen. He says, I don't understand, why is the Kohen making this bracha? What is the Kohen doing? The Kohen's just sitting there and receiving 5 shkalim. So what role does he have to make a bracha? You make a bracha when you're doing something. You bring a bracha when you're actively involved in something. The Kohen is sitting there and receiving a gift of 5 shkalim. Why is he making the bracha? That was the Rosh's tie against the Gaonim. So it would appear that the Gaonim al-Shitasa. The Gaonim's opinion is that The Kohen is not just sitting back and receiving five shekelim. The mitzvah pidraben is not just the mitzvah nesina. It's not just the mitzvah of yoredeya, that I have a mitzvah nesina to hand five shekelim to the hand of the Kohen. The mitzvah pidraben is chashimishpat. The mitzvah pidraben is to literally mimic, to make believe there's a buying and selling. There's a buying and selling. It's got to be a buyer, there's got to be a seller. So that's what the Gaonim are trying to highlight, this lishitasam. Just as the Gaonim instituted this dialogue to take place before the Pidyon HaBen, that the Kohen has something to say, and the father has what to say, and they're negotiating the price of the car, so to speak, and the Kohen says, listen, we can't negotiate, it says in the Torah, five shkolim, so that's it, can't go, it's not the shuk, we can't go one pruta down. But the fact that the Gaonim instituted this dialogue of give and take is to highlight a concept in HaTorah, that the nature of the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is mamish derech mechira. And therefore, the Kohen and the father have negotiations beforehand, and therefore the Kohen makes a bracha also, because the Kohen is an active participant, he's not just merely passive. This all seems to be rooted in the Shittas HaGaonim. So we have a strange thing. We've accepted the Gaonim halfway. Namely, we all say this give and take, but the bracha has been omitted. We don't recite this bracha. Why don't we recite this bracha? So just to say, well, it's a bracha after the Gemara, therefore we're not interested, it's probably not accurate, because there are many brachas that we do say l'maisa, which are after the Gemara. So it's a strange thing, because again, what we're saying, this whole picture of the Gemara is almost a shittasa. If you buy into this idea of a dialogue, you buy into this idea of a bracha, it's really the same underlying feature, that you're buying into the idea that Pidyon HaBen is more Mekech HaMemka oriented, rather than just an Aseda. So probably nobody here has ever heard this bracha recited, except for me. I heard this bracha, not that I go date back to the days of the Gaonim, but I heard the bracha recited on the following. It was actually a member of my family who was doing a Pidyon HaBen. And so I had given him the sefer Pidyon HaBen Kilchoso beforehand. He wanted to read up a little bit of it. I think maybe I gave him Rishis Koch. I don't think Rishis Koch was even written then. So I gave him my Pidyon HaBen Kilchoso. He was reading up a little bit on Pidyon HaBen. And he asked me if I would just kind of be Masada Pidyon HaBen. There is no official term called the Masada Pidyon HaBen. It just means the guy who stands up to make sure everyone reads from the Yom Kippur Seder properly. It's very, very straightforward mitzvah. So I'm standing up there, and my brothers-in-law and the Kohen is standing there. And they start to have the give and take, you know, in Aramaic. And it didn't sound right. If it's the Nusuch just didn't, you know, didn't sound like I was familiar with. But, you know, haven't been at Pidyon HaBen, you know, been at Pidyon HaBen all the time, so maybe I forgot. It's like, you know, Ksuba, that I'm a little bit more familiar with. I'm sorry, the end of the Nusach, it struck me wrong. I thought, maybe it's a different gear, so another Siddur, maybe it's Nusach Sva, I don't know what. I just ignored it. And then, so they start to go through the brachas, and he makes the bracha, Pidyon HaBen, Shech Yanu, and then he hands up the Siddur to the Kohen, and the Kohen starts to make, hands the Sefer to the Kohen, and the Kohen starts to make the bracha, another bracha. And lo and behold, I start to hear words that's a Russian Bechiris that quotes a Gaonim that hasn't been said since the days of Surah Pupadisa. So nobody makes this bracha. What is going on? So I looked and I said, it was my fault. He was using the Sefer of Pidyon HaBen Kilchoso for the Pidyon HaBen. Now, that would be okay, except there are two chapters in the end of that Sefer. One is Seder Pidyon HaBen HaNog Bizman HaZeh, and the next one is Seder Pidyon HaBen Lefi Minhag HaGaonim. So he didn't look at the top of the page. So Seder Pidyon HaBen, good. So now, Igloy Milsalem, now I understood why the Nusach was off, because they had a little bit of a little Aramaic different dialect than we know we say Bizman HaZeh. So I guess I was the first person to do that bracha, maybe. I think I stopped the bracha halfway. I remember what point, when I saw what was going on, so I don't know what we did, Baruch Sheikh, I don't know exactly how it played out. But I call upon him this idea of the Gaonim, the Chassam Sofer says, I can be Mechadish and Mamash Adin Deraisa, based on this idea of the Gaonim, that Mekach HaMemka is off limits, that Pidyon HaBen is Betoros Mekach HaMemka. Says the Chassam Sofer, there is a big shaila about how can we justify giving Truma to a Kohen who's a Katan? There's a Gemara in Yavamas that says you can give Truma to a Kohen Katan. Gemara says it's not a good idea. He may make a tamei. There are technical reasons, but minatori, you can give tshuva to a kohen katan. So everybody goes to town. How can you give tshuva to a kohen katan? Katan can't be zaycha on it. He doesn't have the ability to acquire the truma. So some acharim says, who says you have to acquire truma? Maybe it's just the mitzvah nesina. Others say daschas maknasel. If you're a gadol and you give him a gift, so maybe he is kainit. Others say it's betoras schiris polim because it's chilef avodaschem be'ol moed. Some say it's a yerusha because the kohanim all over. Everybody, all the gedolech from the pichadash to the ktsayis to the sivim, everybody has what to say to try to explain why it's justified in theory to give truma to a kohen katan. comes a chesam soif in the shuv and he writes, forget about truma. What if the only kohen in town is a katan and you have to do pinjin haben? Can you give pinjin haben to a kohen katan? So chesam soif is very weird. He says, when it comes to truma, that's not a sina, that's a matona. The recipient is totally passive. When it comes to pinjin haben, lefi the takon of the goyim to say this whole give and take. So what's the lumdus of the give and take? That's like a mekach memker. So then chesam soif throws in, you know. He says, well, even though we all know that's not real, we all know this masa matan, this dialogue was not instituted by the Chachmei Gemara. It comes after the Gemara. We all know it doesn't really mean anything. But he says, but the Goyim said it, so the Goyim made it up for no reason. It must be the Goyim understood they had a tradition that Pidgin Ben is Mekichu Memker. If it's Mekichu Memker, it's a whole different ballgame. A Katan can receive a Matana, perhaps. A Katan can get a Schirus Polim, he can get a Matana, but he can't be Machna something. It's Mila Torah. A Kohen doesn't have the Koch to be Machna something. So if the Kohen is supposed to be, quote unquote, Machna the baby back to the father, he doesn't have the Kohen, he doesn't have the ability in Chesh Mishpah to do that. So that would undermine the ability of a Kohen Katan doing Pidgin Aben. So we have this whole Shtikl Torah that's unraveling. Whole Shtikl Torah. One Shtikl Torah after another Shtikl Torah, explaining away the Nuscha of the Goyim, explaining away the Bracha of the Goyim, explaining away the Chesam Sefer Pesach. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Kedusha, Daf Ches, that says that if you give Pidgin HaBen money, let's say you don't give money, you give a Svarm or something, you give jewelry to the Goyim, and the Goyim doesn't know how much it's worth. He thinks he's getting a bargain. He thinks he's making 20 shekel, and it turns out it's only 5 shekel. You're not Yotzei. Says Tosfos, based on their reading of the whole sugya, it's part of the sugya of Mekadesh with diamond rings. It's in that sugya beginning of Maseches Kedushin. Tosfos writes that when it comes to Pidgin HaBen, you require Das HaKohen. The Kohen has to know what's going on. He has to evaluate it properly. He has to know exactly what he's getting. And if there's a Mekech Tos, then the whole Pidgin HaBen is not Chal. So the Acharonim ask on Tosfos, what do you mean the Pidgin HaBen is not Chal? Who's the Kohen? The Kohen's job is to stand there, accept the 5 shekel, and give the child a bracha. That's about all the Kohen's supposed to do. Who says, what does the Kohen have to do anything? I'm the father. I know what I'm giving. If I choose to give 20 shekels out of 5 shekels, what can I do? I can do whatever I want. So come the later Acharonim and say, you see that Tosfos also buys into the same story. It's all part of the same pizman, that you need Das HaKohen because you need the participation of the Kohen, you need the brach of the Kohen, you need the dialogue of the Kohen, you need the Kohen to be there. He's not just a passive bystander, he's an active participant because he is being mocked and the baby back to the father. I thought Al Derech, I'm not sure whether you could say it, Al Derech, Lumdus, Al Derech Chiddush, or Al Derech Joke. You'll choose which category that it falls into. So I once said that I think that maybe, in a long shot, maybe this is the minig, this is the source for the minig, that nobody else seems to know where the minig came from, of putting garlic by Pidgin HaBen. So minig Yisrael, angel of minig Yisrael, you put back, the sugar part I can't explain. The only part I can explain the sugar is because the garlic is a bit tasty. You want to offset it with the sugar. That's my best shot at that. But the garlic I'll try to explain to you. My high garlic and a Pidgin HaBen, the davish doesn't make any sense. And they very often, they throw the garlic where? They throw it on the tray with the baby. Well, Shigas says that garlic on the tray with the baby. So I think that it's linked to another minig. There's a minig that when you do a Pidgin HaBen, so the women take the jewelry off and they throw it onto the tray. Where did that come from? Women doing the jewelry? Some say it's a zechet and the egel. We want to make a zechet and the egel. Exactly. Some say it's a zechet because Pidgin HaBen was given to Klal Yisrael. Originally, the Bechorim was supposed to be the Leviim. Then it was taken away at the Shas Egel. So to be mechaper for the Chet Egel, we show, we really, really want to give our money to the Rebbe Shalom. We want to throw our money to the Mishkan. We don't want to throw it to the Egel anymore. That's what some say.
Right.
So we take the jewelry away. Yeah, it's not clear where that minig came from. So in Lumdus, the Misnagdim explained the source of the minig of the women putting the jewelry on is a little bit of an extended minig. The minig was not for all the women to throw the jewelry on. The minig was for the mother to put her jewelry on. Why should the mother put her jewelry on? Because who owns the mother's jewelry? The father, the mother, they all own everything together. We're always afraid when we do a Pidgin HaBen that we may be a little bit short in terms of the silver or the coins. It's always a cheshbon to figure out. Do we really have the right amount of coins? Sometimes we'll throw another 6th coin in the essays. There's always concern maybe the silver is not pure silver, so you're never 100% sure. I mean, we are sure because we have better coins maybe than in the days of the Rishon. We have coins we know exactly, to the measure, exactly how much silver there is. But in the old days, it wasn't always so easy to figure out how much the coins were worth, and there was always that concern lest we'd be a little bit shy of 5 shekelim. So the din is that you can add on Shava Kesef, because remember we said, I give the coin a set of shas, that's also good. I can give him a nice piece of jewelry, that would also be good. So just in case we're half a shekel short, so we give the woman, the mother's jewelry should be mashlim the shear. Once the mother started putting her jewelry on, everyone thought it had something to do with giving away jewelry, so all the other women threw on the jewelry. That's what some explained when the minute came from. Otherwise, we don't understand where in the world this minute came from. Now, assuming that that's correct, again, it's an assumption on assumption, assuming that that's correct, that the source for the minig of putting the jewelry on is just to make sure that that jewelry should participate towards the shiur of five shkolim, then we have a problem. Because Tosfos writes that whenever you use Shava Kesef, if the Shava Kesef is very, very, you know, expensive stuff that's not so easy to figure out how much it's worth, you have to evaluate it. You have to assess how much it's called. That sugya Maseches Kedushin is called Shiroi Tzricha Shuma. You have to be Sham to do Shuma to make sure that the jewelry is worth the right amount of money. The Hebrew word for garlic is shum. The reason why you put garlic on was to remind everybody, don't just throw the jewelry on just like that. Remember, before you throw the jewelry on, be shum the jewelry, evaluate the jewelry, make sure the jewelry is worth X amount of money, or else you could have a mekach tos mitzad the kohen. So what happened? Nobody remembered why they put the jewelry on in the first place. Zicha, nobody remembered why in the world they're putting the garlic on. So all kind of spooky, special reasons they're given for the garlic and the sugar. So this is about as misnagdish pshat. You can't get more misnagdish pshat than this. The jewelry is nothing to do with the chayt. It has nothing to do with the elamas ha-yadav and the tzaitis, the kedusha, nothing to do with that. It has to do with just making sure that you have five shekel, like a real misnag, and make sure you do the mitzvah right. The garlic has nothing to do with shadim and ruchas tumas and sitra achar, nothing to do with that. The garlic has to do with, you want to make sure that a pidin, you sham it right, because Tosfos goes up in Kedushin of Ches, if you don't have the proper shuma, so then the whole Shava Kesef isn't going to work. And the sugar is there because the garlic tastes bitter. That's the whole cheshbon. Abocha Yivchar, when you think there's any emes to this particular part. But there is emes to the Gaon. There is emes to the Chassam Sofer. There is emes to the Tosfos. That's all understanding that Pidgin Ben is one very, very unique way. We're not learning Hilchos Pidgin Ben right now. We're learning Maseches Shabbos, Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. This is the reason why some Rishonim say, you know why you can't do Pidgin Ben on Shabbos? Because Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. Why? Because it's Mekech HaMemker. It's the real Mekech. It's not a gay Mekech HaMemker. It's not the watered down Mekech. It's not Matana of the Mordechai, the Chashulchan of last week, that Matanas Amut the Betzarach Mitzvah on Shabbos and Yontav. No, it's Mechira. It's Mekech HaMemker Mamish, and therefore it's off limits on Shabbos and Yontav Mikra. So we had to give a half hour understanding and background to Pidgin Ben to appreciate those Rishonim who are asking Pidgin Ben on Shabbos as a Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. So others say that Pidgin Ben is also on Shabbos. Mikra Din, Gzeirah Shem Yichtov, but we have the wrong Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. We have the wrong Dinim Mavanis here. We've been focusing on the buying and selling. So come other Rishonim and say, there is no buying, there is no selling, the baby doesn't belong to the Kohen. The whole thing is a game. Why is it Usur? It's also was another aspect of business. Namely, imagine if I owe you $100. I bought $100 from you last week, and I want to pay you back the $100. So I come to you in shops and say, it's time for you to pay back the chob, I'm willing to pay back the $100. I can't write you a check. I can't take the money out of my pocket. I'll say, listen, are you maskim? I'll give you $100 worth of, what do you need on Shabbos? Like cholent. I'll give you a really, really good, I'll give you $100 worth of cholent, and I'll bring you gefilte fish, and I'll bring you dessert. I'll bring you your whole Shabbos meal. It'll be worth exactly $100. So technically speaking, you can be involved in a life, they agree to pay back a chov that way. Okay, so you can pay back the chov that way. On Shabbos, you can't do that. You can't pay back a chov on Shabbos and Yontif, even if it doesn't involve any mukta, because the very act of piron achov itself is a gzeirah shem yichtov. When you pay back loans, very often, I ask for a receipt, I want to see the shtar again, I want to cross out. Gzeirah shem yichtov. So comes the Gemara and says, the piron achov is usur on Shabbos and Yontif. So come a group of Rishonim and say, you know why Pidgin Ben is off limits on Shabbos and Yontif? Because it's a piron achov. You owe, quote unquote, the Kohen money. You owe him five shekel. When you pay back that five shekel, you are paying back your loan, and therefore in Chayshin Mishpat, it's part of Piran Achov. Therefore in Archayim, it becomes Gezeirah Shema Yichtav.
Yes, and Cholamoy too for that reason.
I'm allowed to go to the store and buy in Cholamoid. I'm allowed to ripe. I'm allowed to buy in Cholamoid. There is no Gezeirah Shem Yichtav. The Gezeirah is Rabbanan General speaking Warren Institute on Cholamoid and Pashtas. So the question is this Moshel correct? Is this model correct? That's what Pidgin Ben is? It's a paying back of a chov? it took me 20 minutes to explain to you. The first Rishonim will say, it's not a paying back of a chov. The first Rishonim said, it's a buying and selling. According to the second group of Rishonim, it's not buying and selling. It's not a mitzvah nesina of Yalma. It's a pron chov. A chov? Is that really, really true? So the biggest supporter of this idea that Pidgin Ben is very much a piron chov was the Vilna Gaon. The Bira Gra in Simin Shinhei in Yeredeia takes this approach that Pirona, that the Pidgin Ben is just plain and simple piron chov. And he says, I'll prove to you that it's a piron chov. The Gemara says in the first Perek of Maseches Kedushin that let's say the father doesn't want to do Pidgin Ben. He's not interested in doing Pidgin Ben. So you know what the Beis Din does? They go to his nechassim, they go to his property, and they take his property away. Why? I'll cheapen nechassim, the Gemara says. The same way, if I borrow $100 from you, I'm not interested in paying back the loan, so Beis Din will come and take away my property. The cheapen nechassim, when you owe money, says the Gemara, you owe money. Pidgin Ben is not just a mitzvah between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just, it's not like shaking a lulav and hearing shofar and eating matzah. It's mamonis. The Torah created a shibud, the Torah created a chov between you and the Kohen. If and when you pay back that chov, you're a perei chov, which explains very well why it's also to do that on Shabbos and Yontif. It's based on that the Gra came up with a big kula in Huchas Pidgin Ben. There is a very, very difficult statement of the Ramah in Simin Shinhei in Yerodea, where the Ramah says that you can't do Pidgin Ben Ayde Shaliach. A guy wants to do a Pidgin Ben, he's out of town, he'll call an agent and tell the agent, yes, the Shaliach can do it on his behalf. So the Ramah says it doesn't work. And nobody's sure. Nobody knows where this came from. And we know where it came from. It came from a Rivash, but I'm not even sure the Rivash said it. But the Ramah's interpretation of a line of the Rivash is that you can't do Pidgin Ben Ayde Shaliach. And I'm a sister eternal. You know, why not? What happened to Shulk Shalom Kimboso? So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, Al Derech HaDrush, he says that this is not the halachic reason, it's the Drush reason. He says, Pidgin HaBen goes back to Makas Becheres. So, Ani V'lo HaShaliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it himself, Ani V'lo HaShaliach. So therefore, anything we have a klal, anything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did bi'atzmo, we have to mimic bi'atzmeinu. We're not supposed to do it HaDei Shaliach. But he, Chassam Sofer writes, it's a reason for Shabbos morning drasha, not for Shiur and on a Tuesday morning. So what's the reason? We're not really sure. So comes the Vilna Gaon and disagrees with the Ramah and says, I'll prove to you, it can't be that Shalichus doesn't work. Says the Gra, it's Piron HaChov. What? I can't appoint you as a Shalich to be Piron HaChov for me? Says the Gra one step further. What if I didn't appoint you as a Shalich? What if you went ahead and went Piron HaChov on your own? You decided in your own goodwill, you're going to go Piron Ruvain's Chov. So of course the chov is parua. So says the Gra, you don't even need shlichus for Pidgin HaBen. If I know there's a baby born that needs Pidgin HaBen, I'll do it myself. I don't have to, I'm not the father. I'll do it on behalf of the baby. What's the big deal? Anyone can do Pidgin HaBen. Maybe not the nicest thing to do to steal the father's mitzvah, but Aval Bichain, the nature of Pidgin HaBen is not a mitzvah scene. It's not a mitzvah putting on tefillin that you have to do yourself. There's a mitzvah Piron HaChov. Piron HaChov is Dini Mamonis. Anyone can do Dini Mamonis for you. So according to this second idea, that Pidgin HaBen is Piron HaChov, we understand full well why it's including Gezeirah Shem Yichtov. We understand why we refrain from doing it in Shabbos and Yontif. But we're not, again, 100% convinced that it really is Piron HaChov. Others weren't so sure about this. So no matter how you slice it, the Pesach and Shulchan Aruch is quite clear that Pidgin HaBen is never, ever done on Shabbos and Yontif. Even if the 31st day is Shabbos and Yontif, Pidgin HaBen is not performed on Shabbos and Yontif. And somehow, intuitively, we figured it out. The reason is Gezeirah Shem Yichtov. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. And when the Mishnah in Beitza lists all the different things you can't do on Shabbos and Yontif, all the Gezeirahs, all the Gezeirah Shem Yichtov, Pidgin HaBen is absent from the list. So we're not exactly sure why it's not mentioned in the Gemara. It may lead us to believe that maybe Medina the Gemara, maybe it's really Mutter. But the Rishonim write, we have a Nusar, we don't do Pidgin HaBen on Shabbos and Yontif under any circumstances. And all the Rishonim say, the reason is Gezeirah Shem Yichtov. The only thing is, we're not sure which Gezeirah Shem Yichtov it is. Is it the Mekech HaMemke Gezeirah Shem Yichtov? Is it the Piron HaChov Gezeirah Shem Yichtov? Yeah, at the end of the day, it's the same Gezeirah, it's the same Mitzvah Chavtzecha, but it's a different nuance of Gezeirah. The reason why we should perhaps make the Gezeirah one way, or perhaps make it the other way, is more of a Pidgin HaBen issue than a Hilchos Shabbos and Yontif issue. So no matter, whatever chalos, whatever understanding, whatever hagdar you think Pidgin HaBen is, if you're a believer in the Mekech HaMemke part, you like the Ge'onim, you're into that Tais and Kedushin, you're into Chassam. So if you're into that theme of Pidgin HaBen, so then we're going to ask the Pidgin HaBen Alts Mechira. If you're into the Vilna Gaon and others who think that Pidgin HaBen is not really Mechira, but it's not Nesina either, but rather it's Piron HaChov, then you can ask the Pidgin HaBen and Shabbos and Yontif because of Piron HaChov. So no matter how you slice it, it's going to be awesome. Shulchan Aruch, it says Beferish, that's the Minhag Yisrael. There's no question about it. Pidgin HaBen is off limits in Shabbos and Yontif. It has something to do with Gezeirah Shem Yichtov, we're just not sure what. There was just a related question we'll talk a little bit about tomorrow before we get back to Gezeirah Shem Yichtov. Once we just said that you don't do a Pidgin HaBen and Shabbos and Yontif, Now what? So when do you do the Pidyon HaBen? So we all know when we do it. So you do it the next day. You do it on Matzah Shabbos. You do it Sunday. You do it another time. Is there any option of doing a Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yom Tov without really doing it on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Namely, can we go through the motions on Friday and almost set up a system to happen by itself? I'll give the money to the Kohen on Friday to be Chal on Shabbos. Is that okay? Is there anything wrong with that? So even though it's a strange application of Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, it's going to have some very, very serious ramifications for us because it opens up the possibility of setting up a certain system on Friday to happen by itself on Shabbos. Is that included in Gezeirah Shem Yichtov? So in the days of the Rishonim, they could only envision one thing like that. Going through the motions of a Kinyan on Friday and having the Chalos take place on Shabbos. Most of our business today happens like that. A guy sitting in shul, and his website is buying and selling and buying and selling. Wait, he's singing Baruch Hallel Yon, and his store, quote-unquote, is open. He's doing a lot of business. But everything was set up from beforehand. Is that good? Is that no good?
So no, we have, not yeah.
You what?
Not B&H.
Yeah, so, yeah. Gotta come to B&H, that's why. Anyway, so hopefully we'll see tomorrow how what starts off as a Pidyon HaBen dilemma may quickly become a very, very serious background to some of the modern shailas in terms of Mekich HaMemker and Gzeirah Shem Yichtov, Bizman HaZelf. From tomorrow, we'll continue.
Is there an afternoon to the Torah?